Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you've tuned in because today we're diving into one of the most powerful and rewarding texts on the GCSE English Literature Syllabus, J.B. Priestley's An Inspector Calls. Whether your exam is weeks away or just days away, this episode is going to give you everything you need. The key themes, the essential quotations, the exam techniques that examiners actually reward, and a quick-fire quiz to test yourself at the end. Now, An Inspector Calls is one of those texts that rewards students who really understand its layers. On the surface, it looks like a detective thriller. A mysterious inspector arrives at a wealthy family's dinner party and interrogates each member about the death of a young working-class woman. But underneath, it's a blistering critique of Edwardian society, a socialist manifesto, and a warning to post-war Britain that if we don't change our ways, we will face the consequences. Priestley wrote this play in 1945, just after the Second World War, but set it in 1912, and that gap is absolutely crucial to your exam success. Keep that in your mind throughout this episode. Let's get started. Section 1, the play's context and why it matters. Priestley wrote An Inspector Calls in 1945 and set it in 1912, 2 years before the First World War. This is not an accident. The 1912 audience within the play, the Burlings, are blissfully unaware of the horrors to come. But Priestley's real audience, watching in 1945, had lived through two world wars, the Great Depression and the rise of fascism. They knew exactly what Mr. Burling's complacency and selfishness had led to. When Mr. Burling confidently declares that the Titanic, she sails next week, 46,800 tons, and every luxury, and unsinkable, absolutely unsinkable, the 1945 audience would have laughed bitterly. They knew the Titanic sank. They knew the war Burling dismisses as impossible did happen. Priestley uses this dramatic irony, where the audience knows more than the characters, to expose Burling as a fool. And examiners love it when you discuss this technique. The command word how in your question is asking you to analyze methods. And dramatic irony is one of Priestley's most powerful structural tools. Priestley was a socialist. He believed in collective responsibility, the idea that we are all connected, that society functions like a body, and that when one part suffers, we all suffer. This is the inspector's central message, and it's the moral heart of the play. Section 2, the inspector vehicle for Priestley's message. Inspector Gould is arguably the most important character in the play, not because of who he is, but because of what he represents. His name, Gould, sounds like ghoul, a supernatural creature. This is a deliberate choice by Priestley. The inspector may not be a real police officer at all. He could be a ghost, a moral conscience, a time traveler, or simply a dramatic device. Examiners award marks to candidates who recognize this ambiguity and explore its significance. The inspector's final speech is the climax of the play's didactic purpose. Didactic meaning designed to teach a moral lesson. He says, "We are members of one body. We are responsible for each other. And I tell you that the time will soon come when if men will not learn that lesson, then they will be taught it in fire and blood and anguish." This is Priestley speaking directly to his 1945 audience. The fire and blood and anguish is a reference to the two world wars. The inspector is not just interrogating the Burlings, he's interrogating the audience, and by extension, all of us. When writing about the inspector, avoid the common mistake of treating him as a literal police officer. Instead, describe him as a vehicle for Priestley's socialist ideology, or a moral conscience made flesh. This kind of conceptualized language is what pushes responses into the higher levels. Section 3, social responsibility, the central theme. The play's central theme is the conflict between individual and collective responsibility. Mr. Burling represents the capitalist, individualist view. A man has to mind his own business and look after himself and his own. He sees no obligation to society, no duty to his workers, no responsibility for Eva Smith's suffering. The inspector represents the opposite. That we are all interconnected, that our actions have consequences for others, especially those with less power. Eva Smith, who may or may not be one woman, but certainly represents the working class as a whole, suffers because of the selfishness of every single member of the Burling family. Eva Smith never appears on stage. She's a ghost, a victim, a symbol. Her absence is itself a dramatic technique. She represents the voiceless working class, those who have no platform, no power, and no protection. When you write about Eva Smith, discuss her symbolic function. She's not just one woman. She is every woman exploited by the class system. Section 4, Generational Conflict and the Hope for Change. One of the most sophisticated things you can do in your exam is to discuss the generational divide in the play. The older generation, Arthur and Sybil Burling, refused to accept responsibility even after the inspector's interrogation. At the end of the play, when it seems the inspector may have been a hoax, they return to their comfortable denial. Arthur Burling is more concerned about a public scandal than about moral guilt. But the younger generation, Sheila and Eric, undergo genuine transformation. Sheila says, "I feel as if I've been through a fire." This metaphor of purification suggests she has been morally cleansed, changed by the experience. She refuses to simply forget what has happened. Eric, despite his flaws, his drinking, his theft, his exploitation of Eva, at least acknowledges his guilt and confronts his father's hypocrisy. Priestley's message is one of cautious optimism. The older generation may be beyond redemption, but the young can change. This is a message of hope to his 1945 audience. A new generation, emerging from the war, could build a better, fairer society. Now let's talk about how to actually get the marks. Here are the most important exam tips. Tip 1, structure thematically, not chronologically. Do not write about the play act by act. Examiners want to see you analyze themes and methods, start with a clear thesis, a statement of your overall argument, and then build your case through thematic paragraphs. Tip 2, integrate your quotations. Never drop a quotation into your essay without embedding it. Instead of writing, "Burling says, a man has to mind his own business," write Burling's belief that a man has to mind his own business reveals his fundamental selfishness. The quotation should be part of your sentence. Tip 3, always analyze the writer's methods. Every time you use a quotation, ask yourself, what technique is Priestley using here? Is it dramatic irony, symbolism, foreshadowing, contrast, the language of a particular word? Examiners are looking for AO2, analysis of how the writer creates meaning. Tip 4, use context purposefully. Don't bolt context on at the end of a paragraph as an afterthought. Instead, weave it in. Priestley, writing in 1945 for an audience who had lived through two world wars, uses Burling's dismissal of conflict to expose the dangerous complacency of the ruling class. Common mistake 1, treating the inspector as a real detective. He isn't. He's a dramatic device, a moral force, possibly supernatural. Say so. Common mistake 2, confusing the order of events. Remember, Arthur fired Eva first, then Sheila got her dismissed from Millwards, then Gerald had an affair with her as Daisy Renton, then Eric exploited her, and finally Sybil refused her charity. The inspector reveals this chain of exploitation deliberately, building the family's collective guilt. Common mistake 3, ignoring the ending. The final telephone call, confirming that a real inspector is on his way, is one of the most dramatically powerful moments in the play. It suggests that the Burlings cannot escape their guilt, that justice will come. Always write about the ending and its impact on the audience. Time to test yourself. Cover your notes and answer these questions out loud or in your head. Question 1, what year is the play set and what year was it written? 1912 and 1945. Well done if you got both. Question 2, what does the inspector's name Ghoul suggest? It sounds like Ghoul suggesting he is supernatural or symbolic rather than a real police officer. Question 3, give a quotation that shows Mr. Burling's individualist philosophy. A man has to mind his own business and look after himself and his own. Question 4, what does Sheila mean when she says she feels as if she has been through a fire? It's a metaphor suggesting moral purification. She's been changed and cannot return to her old complacent self. Question 5, what is the dramatic effect of the final telephone call? It suggests the Burlings cannot escape justice, that their guilt is real regardless of whether the inspector was genuine, and it leaves the audience with a sense of unresolved tension and moral urgency. Let's bring it all together. An Inspector Calls is a didactic morality play that uses the interrogation of a wealthy Edwardian family to deliver a powerful socialist message about collective responsibility. Priestley's 1945 audience, emerging from the devastation of two world wars, would have understood his warning with painful clarity. The key things to remember: the play's dual time frame, 1912 setting, 1945 writing, creates dramatic irony that exposes the older generation's complacency. The Inspector is a symbolic, possibly supernatural figure who represents moral conscience and Priestley's own socialist ideology. The generational divide offers cautious hope. The young can change, even if the old refuse to. And Eva Smith, though never seen, is the moral center of the play, a symbol of every person exploited by an unjust class system. In your exam, write thematically, embed your quotations, analyze methods, and integrate context. Aim for that conceptualized, perceptive response that examiners describe as level 4, where you're not just identifying what happens, but exploring why Priestley made every choice he did. You've got this. Good luck, and keep revising. Until next time.